Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Daniel chapter 11, we were talking about the biblical lesson that it is necessary for a country to have a strong military for national defense. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, the king of the north, Antiochus the Great, uses mounds to overcome the fenced city. Now, what they were doing that day, they would build up mounds near the city so then they could shoot arrows from the mounds even to look it over the city. They'd cast spears and they'd use other weapons to break down the walls and overcome these fortified cities. Now, his chosen people refers to three generals that Ptolemy V sent against Antiochus to reclaim the cities for himself. But they could not withstand this mighty army. And by the way, even Bible history proves that it is necessary for a nation to maintain a strong military. The Ptolemy here in Egypt allowed her military to drop off during that 13 years of so-called peace. He had won a great victory and decided to rest in that victory instead of keeping his army well trained. And so they weren't ready for the army that had gone back into the north and trained for 13 years and then come back bigger and better and with more ammunition and supplies. Yes, this army that Egypt had defeated before is now large. It's well equipped. It's well trained. And my friend, that's what we're to do in our countries. I believe that's what God has us to do, have strong militaries, not for colonialism, not to spread our dominion over other countries, but to have a strong military to protect our country and our holdings. The glorious land here in verse 16 refers to Palestine. In 198 B.C., he marched through and he took possession as he marched. And this land is consumed by Antiochus the Great. And he took the goods and the riches and the crops for himself as they marched through. Now, those Jews that saw prophecy and got out from under the hand of the Ptolemies to help Antiochus find that he consumes what they have as well. And he takes it for food. He takes their valuables. He takes all the good of their land. And so verse 14 that we read earlier says, in the last four words of the verse, but they shall fall. And these nobles did fall. Now that takes us into verse 17 here of Daniel 11. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do. He shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. Now, as they say, the plot thickens. Having won Palestine, Antiochus now sets his sights on the entire kingdom of Egypt, the whole kingdom. His upright ones are his negotiators, his cabinet, his representatives. And he is laying out a plan, a deceptive plan. You know, that makes me ask the question, who is the father of deceit? Well, Jesus told us it was that old devil, Satan. And so here we see that the spirit world is at work in the kingdoms of men. And so you can see behind the actions of Antiochus and these others are devil spirits trying to lead them to these areas of destruction. And so it goes on to say here in verse 17, thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her. Now, Antiochus did not invade Egypt at this time. He was starting to get low in supplies, historians tell us, and not really wanting to lose more lives. And so, he wanted to look at his long-range plans. So what he does instead is that he makes a league by giving them his daughter, whose name is Cleopatra. That's not Elizabeth Taylor, it's Cleopatra. And he gives her to wife. And so the agreement was made in 197 B.C. But it actually wasn't consummated until 193 B.C. You see, in 197 B.C., Ptolemy V, who is now king of the south, is only 10 years old. And they want to wait till he's old enough to get married, which evidently in that day is 14 years old, okay? And that's a little hard for us to imagine, but that's the way it was in that day. Isn't it interesting that God made male and female to reproduce even in teenage years? And throughout the Bible days, many teenagers married, and it was a common thing. And it makes you wonder, if today we try to encourage your kids to wait till they're 25 and 30 years old to get married, if we're tempting the biology with which God created man. And I wonder if that's a work of the devil. And I'm not stating that as doctrine, my friend. It's just a out loud thinking. Now, going back here in verse 17, it says, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. Again, the history books have all verified this happening. Cleopatra felt it her solemn duty to be faithful to her new husband. Well, Daddy didn't like that. That wasn't his plan in giving his daughter to this young man, this Ptolemy V. It was his way of getting in, but the daughter turns against him. And I think father-in-laws and son-in-laws have had problems ever since. Now, Antiochus wanted Egypt to be quiet. And also, he wanted to use Egypt in order to take Rome. That was his plan. But now, all of those plans are getting disrupted. If she would just foster his interest in Egypt, and eventually help him gain control of Egypt without destroying it, then he would go in. He's not wanting to destroy the land, the buildings, the infrastructure. He's only wanting to destroy the Ptolemaic power in Egypt, the kings of the south. Instead, his daughter fosters the interest of her husband. Now, none of these, the northern nor the southern kingdoms, knew that by these very details that they were fulfilling prophecy. They just didn't have any idea that they were fulfilling what the Word of God had to say about them. And that takes us into verses 18 and 19. After this, shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land. But he shall stumble and fall and not be found. Well, after the agreement is reached with Egypt in 197 B.C., Antiochus campaigns into the coastlines of Asia Minor. He's seeking to gain control of the Mediterranean Sea. And he was successful at first on land and sea. And he gained numerous islands of the Aegean Sea. And verse 18 says, he shall take many. The Roman armies withdrew from Greece. And Antiochus was joined by the renowned, self-exiled Hannibal. But Rome sent an army that brought a halt to Antiochus's activity. And the Roman general forced Antiochus to return to his own land. This is the prince of verse 18. And the Iron Kingdom of Rome is now beginning to rise. In 191 B.C., Antiochus is driven back by this Roman prince. And the reproach he had offered to bring turned upon him. He was reproached. And that's what we see there in the last part of verse 18, that for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Through a treaty in 188 B.C., he's forced, that is, Antiochus the Great, is forced to abandon all Asia Minor to the Romans. Antiochus returns to his own land, to his own fortress and fortress, having lost all that he had gained. And that's what's meant by stumbled and fall in verse 19. Antiochus the Great died 1 year later. And that's what he meant when he said, not to be found. But that takes us into verse 20. Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now, the son of Antiochus the Great is identified for us here. History records that he ruled from 187 to 176 B.C. His name was Seleucus the Fourth. When he took over, the kingdom was still sizable. It included Syria, Palestine, Mesopotamia, and Babylonia. And it was near unto Iran, the Medo-Persian areas. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.